You ever seen somebody get jumped?
I've never seen somebody get jumped. Mm-hmm. I was on acid with a friend of mine, and he tried to attack me.
Oh no!
And then like a buddy, our sober friend had to like intervene, and I saw them literally. It was a fight to the death. Like my buddy was tripping, was like shitting himself, and like. Breaking windows and like grabbing glass to like stab.
He's actually literally shitting himself.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was like his defense mechanism.
Someone's coming at you and they're shitting.
It's terrifying. That's
fucking really scary. And you're on LSD.
Yeah, Jesus, I had to call 911 on acid.
I did LSD one time. Just one. How many times have you done acid? Like a few times? A
couple. That was the last one. That was the last time.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell me that. I was like, well, that was his last time. Yeah, I did acid. It was gel tabs. We took some gel tabs.
That's pretty cool stuff.
Took a couple of them. Took a good amount.
Yeah.
It tripped our nuts off.
For like days?
For like...
Almost a day?
18 hours.
Yeah. It's too long.
Yeah, it tripped really hard for probably 10 hours, you know? And then like tripping and then just weird for a few days, you know?
Yeah, you're always weird.
Yeah, you're weird for a few days after. It was really funny though, man. I mean, everything was hilarious.
Yeah,
like just like we watched Ren and Stimpy and nothing's ever made more sense to me in my entire life. Like watching Ren and Stimpy, there was a moment where Ren kicks out Stimpy, and then Ren's alone. He's like, I don't need Stimpy. And then he lays down on the pillow. He's like, I'm so happy Stimpy's not here. And he starts to fluff up the pillow. And as he fluffs the pillow starts to look more and more like Stimpy.
Oh.
And then he looks at the pillow and he's like, hey, Stimpy, you idiot. And he runs out of the room. And then the pillow looks at the camera and says, he's talking to pillows, kids. And we fucking lost it, dude. It was like the pillow was looking at us. I was like, what? And then I found myself doing that later that night. I was like talking to myself and I was fucking talking. And then I like looked at my pillow.
Like, whoa. It comes around full circle.
It came around full circle. It was wild, man.
Well, everyone, if you're wondering who that voice is, it's Evan Williams, my guest for today. I took a little indie today. Usually we do like a whole corny like, well, what the fuck you dad? Yeah. And here's our guest. I think I'm gonna start
the soft open.
I like the soft open.
Yeah.
I think I like the way that felt.
It's fun.
So I did wanna start by can I big dick you for a second?
Oh sure.
I'm gonna big dick you because this is the last time I saw you. Is you, believe it or not, were opening for me.
What? I would never. I'm kidding.
Disgust. Uh-huh. It was the first time. I was actually pissed off about it.
Hilarious.
First time I was. Yeah, I was mad, dude. I was furious.
Uh-huh. What happened?
It was the first time I was headlining the Idiot Box.
Didn't even know this was the scenario. Trudy probably was like, come by. There's a spot for you.
I want to bury
me
that
in
kid.
Front of that young man. Yeah. Let me overshadow this man's moment.
It was my first time headlining the Idiot Box. It was a huge moment for me because that's like where I started. And I was And then Jenny was like, yeah, we're going to have Evan Williams feature. And JD is going to host. And I was like, okay, so we're putting two way better comedians before I've got to do, like, the most time I've ever done at the Idiot Box.
Uh-huh.
It ended up going all right, though. We had fun.
Yeah.
I did remember when I saw it.
It's the night I'm thinking about. You did great. You're very funny.
Yeah.
What I saw. I don't think I knew that you were headlining, man. I'm so sorry.
Or I don't apologize
for
whatsoever.
Minutes
no,
or however long you
no,
perform,
no, 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 no.
How long did you perform that night? Did you make it 45 minutes? That would have been
no, not 45.
Yeah.
I think I did half an hour.
That's a lot of time, man. Yeah.
45 is tough, half especially back then. This was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I was terrified of talking to the crowd, so I was just like head down, do material until you can't. Mm-hmm. And I think I made it to 30 and then got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
But now I feel like, I don't know if this is cocky, But if someone was like, could you physically do an hour before, uh-huh. I'd be like, no way. Now I feel like I could squeak it out. Would it be good? No. Would I want to record it? Absolutely not. Uh-huh. But I feel like I could physically do the full thing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I'd want to record it just to, like, you know, punish myself later. Just
look at that
and be like, let's look at the tapes. You know, see how the team can get better, you know? But, like, I wouldn't put it out as, like, my hour or anything.
So you started at the Idiot Box?
I did, yeah. I was working at a movie theater when I was newly sober at 19. And maybe I was barely 20. And Steve Lesser, the owner of the Idiot Box, him and
yes,
Jenny are the
yes,
owners.
Yes.
They would come in with their kids, really young at the time, and they would watch movies. They came in, they were watching Adam Sandler movie, Pixels.
Oh, Jenny loves Adam Sandler.
No, not Pixels. The one where Bedtime Stories? Bedtime Stories.
Bedtime Stories was the one where he told stories and they came true. Yeah.
They were bringing their kids to see Bedtime Stories. And he had a shirt on that said Idiot Box on it. And I was like, oh, that's that comedy club, right? Like downtown? He's like, yeah, you should come by sometime. And I was like, oh, are you like the owner? And he was like, yeah, me and my wife. And I was like, oh. He's like, you want to do comedy? And I was like, yeah, I've always wanted to do comedy. He's like, you should come do comedy. He was like, come down to the club. Take an improv class or just do a open mic. Just come check us out. And I was like, okay. But I didn't. I just kept not doing it. And he kept being my customer. And he kept being like, come down to the club, man. I remember you. Come down to the club.
Yeah.
He kept telling me to. And so I finally took him up on it. And I took an improv class. And, you know, I found like, oh, shit. There's some funny. This works, you know. It's not stand-up. But it's being funny on a stage.
Improv is so fun. And it's bad to say that because, as a stand-up comedian, we're supposed to, like, hate them and fight them.
What's funny's funny. I mean, for me to now be doing fucking sketches on the internet, you know, I got, I gotta give credit everywhere else. It's always been due, you know, this whole stand-up thing, you know, where whenever you try something new as a stand-up comedian, you got that back row of comedians in your head.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The back room
fucking
follows you everywhere.
Lame.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, get out of my head.
It keeps me from doing so many, like, even buying a new shirt, dude.
Yeah, I don't want to do
that. Like, if I see a shirt and I'm like, in the back of my head, I have like comedians I know going like, too bright. Yeah. What are you wearing? Yeah. Like already.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
exactly.
You got to get rid of that.
You mean the actor? What are you fucking gay? You know? And dude, I'm not, that's not how I feel. The guy in my head is like from like Long Island in 1980. I don't know why.
He's a piece of shit.
That's who's talking to me. It's not how I feel at all. But like, that's the voice, you know? And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, and it's literally like, what are you doing? Are you lame, dude? Are you fucking like, oh, you miss your ex?
You know what it is? You ever seen A Christmas Story?
I have, yeah.
You remember that kid with the scary kid with the red hair going, what are you going to do, cry? That kid never left me.
That's a better example, man. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's the same.
What are you going to do, cry?
Me and my buddy Greg, we call him Larry. We call the voice that, like, you know, talks to us like that. We call him Larry just so there's a name on it. So
oh, that's
like,
a good
up,
idea.
Larry. Like,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
When your head's talking like that. And it's like, it's an interesting concept. I think that, like, Larry happened one day because I needed him to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one day where I was going to, like, walk into a room and, like, heroin was in that room and I was going to do heroin. And Larry was like, what are you, fucking dumbass, dude? You're a stupid piece of shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Room.
He can come in handy.
And then, so I was like, well, fuck, I won't go in this room, you know? All right. And I walked out of that room and that was the day that Larry was born. Like, Larry came into existence to save my life.
Yeah.
But then Larry hung around and, like, I don't need him anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the only way Larry knows how to talk. And so, like, still to this day, every day, just, you fucking stupid idiot. I just have this guy who's calling me a fucking stupid idiot all day. And I'm like, Larry, I'm just trying to get a sandwich now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so
I bet you're going to get fucking dumb mayo on it, you fat piece
of
shit.
Stupid fucking. Are you going to get light mayo? You watching your figure, dude? Ugh, you know? Yeah. Get out of my head, Larry. I don't need you anymore. Thank you for saving my life maybe 12 years ago. Yeah.
So I want to talk dads. Can we talk dads for a second?
Let's get into dads, dude. Let's talk about Russell Harrison Williams III.
Holy shit, is that his name?
Let's get into it.
Civil War general, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I was almost the fourth, man. Russell the fourth. Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal, isn't it? That you weren't a Russell?
Kind of. Not to him. Not like my dad's like, no,
whatever. You know? Yeah.
He's not one of those guys like, my boy needs to carry this. That's just not my dad.
But it'd just be cool to be, to make it to the fourth.
It would be cool, man.
As long as it didn't come with all the stuff. I don't
know any fourths. Do you know a fourth? I actually did meet one. It was a comedian. I can't remember his name, but he was a fourth.
Oh, I think my buddy's a fourth.
Yeah?
My buddy, but he doesn't go by his first name. Because his name's Peter.
He's disgracing his father.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, he goes by his middle name, which is Rocky. But I think his full name is Peter Rockford the Fourth.
That's badass. He should go by that, man. He should make people call him.
He will one day.
The whole name.
Yeah. You don't stay Rocky your whole life.
No.
Once he turns, I think, like 38, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm Rockford. Pete now. I'm Pete now.
He should go by Rockford. I love that.
Rockford's a good name, too.
It's a really good name.
He was named after The Files. He really was. The
really?
Show?
Really?
Yeah.
We That's amazing. So, Dax, dude, what do you want to know about old Russ, dude?
So, he's seen you do comedy before, right?
He has, many, many times. My dad is the most supportive man on the planet.
I mean, good to hear.
He's a very, very, very supportive man. I mean, I call him Mr. Mom, you know?
Okay.
I lost my mom. I lost my brother. I lost my aunt, who is mom number two.
Oh, my God.
And I went through a lot of loss from like 18 to 20. Like, I lost a lot of people.
Wow.
And my dad just like, he just showed the fuck up.
Yeah.
He's just like, God bless him. We've had our things, man. And I've had my therapies.
Yeah.
You know, but old Russ is forgiven for anything. And he didn't do anything crazy. You know, we're human beings. And like, I just got nothing but respect for old Russ.
Gotcha.
He if you're my friend, like, because you did this podcast,
uh-huh,
he will follow you now when this
comes
out.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
He'll follow you. His little icon on on Instagram is a gorilla, and it has been for 12
years. Is that his beast? Is that his beast of choice?
Yeah, he was a director of the North Carolina Zoo.
Get the fuck out of here. So I grew up at
like
here.
A zoo and shit.
That's cool.
And so he's a big animal guy, and gorilla's, I guess, his favorite, because it's his icon across every social media app. It's the same picture of a silverback gorilla. And all my friends are like, dude, this gorilla keeps liking my shit. And I realize it's your dad. And I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm sorry about that.
Knowing me, I'd be like, dude, 800-pound gorilla followed me, bro.
They're going to do an album with you, dude.
We're on the fast track.
Less cool, but also more cool. Because at this point, Russ is a seal of comedy approval at this point, you know?
Yeah.
He follows only the best.
So did you grow up in the zoo? Were you, like, running around being a little rat pack?
A little bit, man.
That's cool.
A little bit. I was definitely raised by the staff there. Like, the staff, if I go there, they're just like, I can't believe you're grown up. You know, like, they just, like, it's the sweet. The people who work at the zoo, I don't know what it is, man. I actually tried to make a show about it at one point with IFC. And we got, like, kind of far along because there's stories there. I mean, it's special people.
That's a cool workplace comedy idea, too.
Yeah. There's a lot of workplace comedies. There's bars. There's, you know, the superstore. There's all sorts of stuff. There's been, like, you know, restaurant, like, movies like Waiting and stuff like that.
I fucking love Waiting.
Yeah, Waiting, but, like, with a zoo staff.
That's,
I think it would be great. Yeah. Personally, but it's tough. It's also expensive. You know, animals, you got to get, like,
oh, yeah.
It's really tough to work with animals.
And then you got to, you don't only have to work with animals. I learned that with films and stuff, you actually got to work with the creeps that, like, pimp out animals for movies.
Yeah.
Those are creepy people.
Yeah.
That's where you get Tiger King, which Netflix has milked for, like, six documentaries because there's fucked up people all around in this space.
Yeah. The fact that there was a season two of that is insane, man. Have you watched the season two of it?
It was so boring.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I was like, it's
a lot
done.
Of Zoom stuff, right? Probably. A lot of
Zoom stuff, and like, yeah. I'm like everyone else in that documentary. Like, I give a fuck about the tigers. Show me the tigers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't care about Joe Exotic, like, smoking weed in prison. Like, I don't care about that. Show me the big cats. I'm like everybody else. Give me the fucking cats.
Yeah.
So, you were running around the zoo, like, was he like a strict kind of dad? Would you get in trouble with him?
Yeah, and I wasn't necessarily running around the zoo. I mean, like, I would go to the zoo sometimes.
There'd be
events and stuff, yeah. And I'd go to the zoo. Anytime, like, my school would go to the zoo, I was the coolest kid.
Yeah, yes, you know yes. I mean?
Like, hey, dad, my dad, like, let them in, you know, and stuff like that. Like, yeah. It was really cool until you're, like, 12, and people just kind of grow up out of the zoo.
That's
but
true.
You get back to the zoo later, but, like, for a while, you're like, with the zoo, I'm a grown-up dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And so it was, like, really cool, and then, like, I was wrong about it not being cool, and then it's cool again. And then I worked there. I worked there at the gift shop, and they dressed me up like a giraffe, and I sold buttons to help expand the rhino and elephant exhibit. But anyways.
I've never dressed up as a thing, and I've always kind of wanted to do it. Because I feel like that's peak, like, not to sound like a dick to anybody who's dressing up like the Statue of Liberty and twirling a sign, but that is bottom, that's I feel bottom. Like. That's to bottom. To put on a full costume and to clock in is that, and I think that's just, that would be really funny to me to be in costume and to have to work to do a job.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would really get
the
kick
highest
out of
level is like, you know, like the actor Doug Jones, who, like, you know, works with Guillermo del Toro and plays, like, I mean, you know, he dresses up in costumes.
Oh,
and
of course.
Like Oscar worthy, you know.
Yeah. No. So
that's
not
like
that.
Top. Yeah. And then there's
inanimate objects. A burger.
Yeah.
A thing of fries.
Right. Right.
A giraffe. That's not inanimate. It's very that's very inanimate.
Yeah. Very animate. I would take these photos with families and stuff, and I was supposed to not hold babies. They're like, you don't hold babies, but they all were just like, "Oh, my baby!" And like, they were just like let go of their baby in my arms, and I like would have to like catch it. The baby would die. Like, so like, I was like,
I don't have an option.
There's a lot of pictures in people's homes right now of a giraffe, and little do they know that inside that giraffe is me, and there's like a baby, like a giraffe in motion, like catching a baby, and that's me. That's me.
It's so funny because they probably assume like this is probably some professional, and it's some 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Like being like,
16, dude. I was working
16. So you were probably, were you on drugs at that time, doing drugs?
I was, yeah. Just
yeeked out.
I would show up and like sleep in the car. I was, you know, I got to admit, I mean, I was the boss's son, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, my dad was my boss's
It's hard
boss,
to not be you when know? Your dad's the boss.
It's, you can't help it. It's just something happens. And it's not that. It's just that, you know, when you're an addict, you take advantage of the people that you can take advantage of. And like, what I mean by that is like, when you're an addict, you don't rob your buddy, you know, because you want him to still be your friend tomorrow. And if you rob him, he's not going to be your friend tomorrow. And so you rob your fucking mom. And like, and that's fucked up.
That is fucked up.
It's really fucked up. But it's like, she still has to be your mom.
She
tomorrow.
Has to,
so
yeah.
You can't
yeah.
lose your mom, so you steal from the people you can't. And like, and those people, that job, were like parents to me. I mean, they knew me when I was a baby and stuff, and now they're like my boss, but it's very beyond that. Like, they raised me, you know.
Okay.
I wasn't at the zoo running around all the time, but I was at the zoo a lot, and these people saw me grow up, so that was a job that, I mean, I would just show up fucking fucked up. I'd show up with coke on me, you know, do coke in the bathroom, fucking put up the giraffe's neck and snort it.
So funny if you were in the giraffe cage, in the giraffe outfit, doing blow, and kids are like, what is that
I'm
giraffe
like
doing?
I'm like a cocaine-induced psychosis. I believe I'm a giraffe at this point. One of the giraffes actually believes I'm a giraffe, too.
Yeah,
just fucking me. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
How big is a giraffe's dick? Do you know that?
I don't know. Their tongues are insane.
It's got it. Yeah.
The black tongue.
The tongue's
giant
big.
Black tongue. I don't know how big their dick is. Probably pretty large, you know?
Yeah. I would. It'd be crazy, actually, if they had, like, a microscopic penis. To be that big of an animal and then have that tiny of a penis. Yeah.
Like,
that's how you know God doesn't exist. Yeah. God would have given a giraffe a tiny penis.
Well, they gave hyenas, for some reason, the giant pussies, you know?
Did
like,
they?
Hyenas have, like...
These are zoo facts you get to know when you're running around there
how
being a scamp.
How big is a hyena's vagina?
Yeah, this is where we need our producer.
I'm sorry to bring out a...
No, phone. Please. No, I'm fascinated.
Yeah, how big... Hyenas... Which don't pretend that people are searching head... Google. You just edited what people were searching most.
What are we talking?
8 inches, man.
Wide?
Feet, the clitoris of a...
Talk about it.
Of a spotted hyena. extends almost 8 inches. It can even get an erection.
The clitoris can get an erection?
Yeah, an erect clitoris.
These walls are thin, too. I hope my girlfriend can hear this while she's sleeping.
I hope so, too. I hope it's influencing her dream right now. I hope that she was having a dream. She was at a nice brunch, and there were giant hyena pussies.
That's like, probably why they're laughing so loud, is because their chicks are like, yo, my clit is so hard right now.
Yeah. I can't find the length, but I remember hearing that there was like a very long vaginas. All right. I hope that's a fact that's not real, man. At this point, I hope I'm wrong. And then there's the question of why have I believed that for this long? And who told me that?
Oh, that's definitely a dad fact, bro.
You know?
Yeah. I can see that just being... It's like quiet in the car, and you're on your way home, and he goes,
you know, I believed everything I ever read on a Snapple cap, and you know now that, like, those aren't real?
What?
Yeah, some of them are, and some of them aren't. This comedian Dave Ross has a joke about it, but so I look him up and watch the joke. I won't spoil it, but I had no idea, dude.
That is really fucked.
Yeah, some of them aren't real, which is so much more fucked up.
Yeah,
because then it's like, well, what was ever
this real? I'm trying not to fall into this mindset because all my buddies are like, dude, nothing's real, but that's really.
Oh, like conspiracy?
Pushing me over the edge. Yeah. Well, they just mean like money's not real. Okay. Buy crypto because money's not real.
Oh, boy.
You know, shit isn't real. Life isn't real because what are we all doing? Fucking Kanye ran for president, that kind of thing. Life's not real.
Yeah.
Now it's Snapple facts aren't even fucking facts?
Yeah, man.
Is his joke about like a writing room? Because that's where you said Dave Ross?
Dave Ross, yeah, he's more just like, I mean, it is truly a baffling thing to learn, and it's more just him laying it out for the audience and just being blown away, and it's funny to watch him, like, you know, his reality shatters, he says the joke.
Yeah.
And so it's more just like, who in here knew that, you know, who in here knew that Snapple facts aren't real?
And oh, and people then from clap, there, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, fuck you. Yeah. Why did you let the rest of it, you know?
That is funny.
And it goes from there. That's funny. Yeah.
So did you ever, do you remember a time where you got like in trouble?
Yes.
From your dad? Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Hawaii because he wasn't that strict. And I wish he was more strict, to be honest. I wish he would have been more strict because I would have maybe not been a criminal.
Yeah.
You know, like if there were some rules, maybe if I needed to go to bed at a certain time. Maybe if, you know, I didn't get most toys that I wanted, you know, maybe if I needed good grades to get a toy, you know, things would have been different, but it's like, I became a comedian and I'm glad, I think, I don't know, but it goes up and down. There was a time I've been spanked like a few times, but there was one time because I was a little shithead, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I was a little shithead, and we were in.
Well, if you're doing coke when you're 16, you're not gonna be.
Yeah.
A good. Started, I mean, like 16. People are dickheads on coke, no matter how old they are. You know what I'm saying?
Big time.
And a 16-year-old starts a dickhead.
Yeah.
So like to do cocaine on top of that.
Imagine, dude. Yeah.
You were probably trying. Were you trying to like organize a group? Were you like that kind of kid, like you were trying to organize people when you were hot, or were you just like fucking geeking out?
I mean, it was I don't know, a bit of a control freak. It was always at my place.
Okay.
It was my coke, and like, you know, I was sharing the wealth, and but then also like would have my own stash, and so they'd watch the bag go down, like, oh, the coke's gone, bye guys, and then they would leave, and I'd do the actual coke that was left, shit. You know, okay, to myself, you know.
Oh, and then just be alone and very high.
And then that's all you do. So addiction is like, it's fun, and there's people, and then you start scheming, and there's less people, and then it's just you. And so, like, that's all my, like, one night of early doing cocaine is kind of like a metaphor for the experience of cocaine, you know?
Okay.
It starts with people, and it ends with just you.
Yeah.
But the getting in trouble with my dad, I mean, I've been in trouble many times with my dad, but the one that just popped in my head when you asked was, I was in Hawaii, and we were at the pool, and I had just, like, I had just gotten out of the pool, and I had dried myself off completely. It took like a while, you know. It took a while to dry. My dad really was like focused on me being dry, man. I don't know why. He was just like, if we go inside, you need to be fucking super dry. And And I was like, all right. So I got
I love it when dads fixate on just random details, dude.
And then I got really dry, man. And then he was like, okay, let's go. And I like looked at the pool. And he was like, why are you looking at the pool like that, Evan? And he was like, let's go. And I just was like, I looked at him and I looked at the pool. He was like, don't fucking do it. Don't do it. And then I was like, he's like, don't do it. And I jumped in the pool with like all my clothes on. Like I just, just to piss him off. I don't know. Like I could tell that he wanted me to be drying.
Right.
And so it made me want to be as wet as I've ever been in my life. And so I jumped in the pool and he was like, all right. He's like, you stay in there as long as you want. Cause when you get out, I'm going to whoop your ass. Like I'm going to spank you, you know? And so what I did was I got out of the pool immediately. And I ran ahead of him back to the hotel, and I went into a closet, and I closed the door in the closet, and I was so scared of getting spanked.
Yeah,
I just hid in the closet, and he just knew I was in there, and he was like, he literally is punishing himself right now. Like I like another alternative for getting spanked. I probably would have said go in the closet for like 30 minutes. You know, think about what you've done or something. He was like, I just sat in the closet for as long as humanly possible. And finally, he knocked on the door. He's like, can you come out of there? I was like, you're going to spank me. And he's like, I'm not going to spank you anymore. You've put yourself in timeout for hours.
Yeah, he's solitary like, confinement.
Yeah. He's like, no, there's no punishment. I was like, this is a trick. He's like, no. So that was the time I got really scared, man. But it was just the threat of getting spanked.
I'll share one kind of similar, and then we can get out of here. Because just saying that, like, that fixation of, like, this whatever random detail it was.
Yeah.
I remember one time me and my dad were driving in his car. And he's just an angry British guy. And he's got his driving.
I love that your dad's British, man. That's so much cooler. Because my dad was like, you better get the fuck out of that pool. I'm going to spank you. If you jump in there. It's fucking over, you hear me? I could never stop laughing at my dad.
So this is okay. So I'm gonna do my best Charlie accent because we're in the car. He's got
Charles Cartwright. That's fantastic. What a British name.
Kids used to call my home phone just to listen to our voicemail because it would go, "Hello, you've reached the Cartwright," kids would go like. And so he's driving, right? And we're like 5 minutes from getting home. And I don't know why I'm doing this. But I'm just like opening the door, like the passenger side door, just like a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And just being a dumb kid. And my dad is going like, what are you doing? Would you knock it out? And I'm like, yeah. And I do it one more time. And he stops the car and he goes, right! You touch the fucking door again, you're done. You're gone. Mm-hmm. You're out. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay. And, you know, he pulls back on the road. And it's like 35 seconds. And I just open the door.
Yeah.
Again. I just open the door. And he goes, right! And he actually speeds up for a little bit.
Ooh.
Stomps on the brake to create some jerk back. Slam you back. Stomps on the brake. Pulls over. And he goes, get out of the fucking car, get out of the car. And I'm like laughing. I'm like, Dad, I'm not going to get out of the car. And he's like, you're walking home. You're walking. And I go, Dad, please. Like, we're like 4 minutes away from the house. And so he goes, no, you're walking. And I'm like crying. I'm like, please. And he's like, no, you open the door, you're gone. And I got out. And it wasn't enough to just like make me walk home.
He drove right beside me.
That's and awesome. Screamed the whole time. Just like, you know how stupid you are. You look like a fucking idiot. You know that.
Fucking white guy. Look at you, fucking
face. And you're blubbering like a little girl.
You got shame all over your Chevy Chase, don't you? He starts using Cockney slang on you, even though he's not from East London, dude. That's fantastic, man. But you know what? He drove beside you because he also cared about you. You know what I mean? I think if he cared less, he would have been like, "Fuck him, dude."
You know what? I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
I always thought of it like he
wanted... cared about you enough to like make sure you were safe on the way home.
I guess, yeah. But
couldn't fucking not be mad at you.
Yeah.
You know?
If anyone's gonna fucking beat my kid's ass, it's gonna be me.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Well, Evan, thank you so much for hanging out, dude.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you if they want to go find you?
You can find me touring a little bit here recently. I'll be in Denver next. I don't know when this comes out, but I'll be in Denver
Friday,
27th.
I'm putting this on the Express.
Sick, dude. So, yeah, I'll be in Denver when this comes out. If you're there, you can catch me tomorrow, Saturday, and doing some stuff all over the place. You can find my dates and my videos and all the stuff I do and announce on Instagram at It's Evan Williams. I'm also on TikTok and got an album called It's All Embarrassing.
It's all good. And I mean, your TikToks get like, what, 500,000 likes? I mean, that horror movie series you did is doing, well. Doing real numbers, as
just
I like to
some
say.
Numbers right now. Yeah. TikTok's the Wild West. You just never.
It really is.
So strange.
Yeah. My feed got fucked up. I like too many homeless TikToks, and now it's just like homeless. People with no teeth being like, trying to get to Sandusky. I'm like, damn. What is this app?